Jasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Jasper
and Murray.
Jasper
and Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Jasper
and Murray.
Jasper
and Murray.
Jasper and Murray. 98.5 is Sports Hub. All right, we got Patriots and Packers tomorrow night. I get that there really hasn't felt like there should be the buzz for this game up until now, throughout the week, but with the Red Sox winning the World Series in five games. I called it. Told you. Gentlemen, sweep. I was right. For all the mocking, and granted, you know,
you were right.
I was deservedly, sent many an angry email over the last 5 to 7 days since the Red Sox again completed the gentleman sweep that I called for having the asterisk and having the wheel of gutless bums and so on and so forth. I get it. I deserve it, especially with David Price, who should have been the MVP, by the way, winning that and stuffing it all down our throats. So congratulations to them. But now it's time to focus on this game because I think the buzz is warranted. I think the hype is warranted. And I think this also kicks off a stretch for me, Chris, that that will show what this Patriots team really is all about. You know, between now and that Vikings game at home in December, they get some tough ones here. Because I'm sorry, like, I can't take too much from this win in Buffalo on Monday night, especially when they're using Cordarrelle Patterson as their de facto running back and not even handing off to someone who's, like Kenyon Barner, who is a running back. That game made me mental. It was ugly, a win, great, fine. There were some positives there. Trey Flowers was awesome.
Yeah, he was great.
Kyle Van Noy continued to have a pretty decent season. He's looked good. Also, you know, to give them credit, with 11 interceptions now, they do kind of have a knack, it feels like, for the timely pick.
They've had one in every game.
Yeah,
every game this year, they've intercepted a pass, generating turnovers.
So positive defensively. Offensively, like, ugh, like I'm so, that game was just wretched. So, you know, I think we're going to learn a lot about this team between tomorrow night's game and the Vikings game. And, you know, in December, you have your fodder like the Bills and Jets and what have you. But I think we're going to learn a lot about this Pats team starting with tomorrow night's game.
No, I would agree with you. I mean, I think it's, you know, we're looking at this game. It's a measuring stick matchup, not just for the quarterbacks, but for the teams. I mean, this is a game that Green Bay needs. They're 3-3-1. I think for the Patriots, obviously they're riding a five-game winning streak, and we saw what they could do against the Chiefs, and that validated them. But I think there's still some questions on the defensive end. You know, you won that Chiefs game, but the way you won it, you didn't necessarily feel the greatest about that. Winning that game 43-40, and you won it because Brady, from a situational standpoint, made sure there was no time left when you scored last. If Patrick Mahomes gets the ball back, it's a different story. And so you're facing another one of those quarterbacks on Sunday where it's sort of a situation where last guy with the ball might win.
Right.
Can you do a better job defensively? And I can't think of any more of a 180 than going from Derek Anderson to Aaron Rodgers in terms of trying to defend a quarterback. So I still think we can learn a lot about the defense, and we'll see if Sony Michel can play in this one. I think that adds an element to their offense. It was interesting for all the Sony Michel bashing in the beginning of the year, and I love what James White has done this year, but you can tell that the Patriots look at him and they feel like a little bit like Danny Amendola, not quite as pronounced, but this is a guy we have to keep on a pitch count or he won't make it to the end. And
they're right to do so.
Yeah, I mean, they'll throw him the ball in space, and he's obviously getting a ton of targets. But in terms of running him, it's pretty clear that they're like, this guy's not built for 18 to 20 carries a game on top of what we're asking in the passing game. Like, he can't do it. And that's why Cordarrelle Patterson is getting carries at running back.
You know what? What else I wanted to ask you, because it now feels like it was a month ago, was the whole Josh Gordon situation going into that game, where you heard the report from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network that there was going to be
disciplinary situation.
Yeah, disciplinary situation. You know, he wasn't going to get a lot of snaps in that first quarter, and then the game starts, and he's on the field in the first offensive series. What do you make of that?
I think the Patriots felt like it was becoming too big of a story, and it was more detrimental to punish him by taking away the playing time than if you just let him play and you punish him, you know, somehow behind the scenes. I also think it helped him. It seemed like the message was received because he was on the first bus to New Era Field, and I have to say, anybody that wants to get to that stadium in Orchard Park earlier than they have to, that takes dedication. That says something.
That's right. You were at that.
Yeah, I was there. So that takes, you know, that you have to be highly motivated to do that if you're not a Bills fan. So, you know, I think they felt like the message was received, but also that it was becoming a bigger story than they intended. I mean, you know, we talked about it all on the pregame show. And the problem, you know, the problem for Josh Gordon is you look at his career and the issues that he's had, you know, even the smallest thing, like being a little late for the, you know, team bus or whatever the deal was, it sort of gets magnified because of what his background is and what his history is. And so that's sort of the issue. And I think that was coming up in terms of the whole discussion about, can you count on this guy? How many strikes do you give this guy? I think the Patriots knew that was out there and they decided that they weren't going to feed it. And I can just speak personally, like in the past, I've had stories where, you know, somebody tells me something and it's about to happen. And, you know, the team sort of gets wind of what's going down and they change it. They change what they're going to do based on the fact that they know that there's a narrative being crafted that's not the one that they want.
So you think it is more about that? It's about trying to control the narrative?
Yeah,
and
I do.
To kind of own the media,
yeah.
Rather than, because my theory was, and I talked about this with Beadle in the post game, is this is just an extension of the kinder, more level-headed, chill Belichick that we've had since the OTAs this year.
I like your theory.
Well, because again, he had the relaxed training camp. He takes the guys to go play cornhole at Fenway. It's days off, you know, rather than no days off. He clearly had no issue with Cordarrelle Patterson high-fiving J.C. Jackson before he got into the end zone in Chicago. And then he's wearing shirts and trying to hawk them in the locker room the following week. I mean, he even had kind Bob Soucy saying, like, that's not the Patriot way. Like, we don't do that here. And he was right to do that. I hated that. Like, okay, nice return, but, like, get in the end zone, you dummy.
Yeah, he almost ran out.
And you thought that, I thought, like most people, there was going to be some sort of punishment there.
Yeah.
Nothing. Just a shrug from Belichick. So, again, chill Belichick. No. Days off.
So how did you decide, this is an aside here, and I'm going to take us down a little bit of a rap, but how did you decide where did you decide the inflection would be on the no days off thing? Because it could be no days off.
Oh, no, I completely stole it from Lionel Hutz from The Simpsons. Remember, he has the Homer goes into the law office and he says, it says no money down. And he takes the business card and he adds the comment, says no money down. So, no, yeah. I completely ripped that off.
No, but
the
I'm
Simpsons.
Just wondering, because the way you say it, because you can do it, like you say it.
No. Days off.
Okay, so you go no days off, where you could also go no days off.
Yeah, you could do that too.
See, I'm just wondering how you decided.
No, it's just it's a complete Simpsons ripoff.
Got
is
it.
All.
Okay.
So I wonder with all this again. No, you know the chill kind of open-minded Belichick. He looks at Josh Gordon, knows the kid's past.
Yeah.
How quickly it's gone bad for him in the past when he was with Cleveland. I just wonder if he looked at him and says, okay, this story goes out there. If I bench him for a portion of this first quarter, I could lose the player. And the reality is,
I do think that's part of it, yeah.
We need the player.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the old talent, you know, talent trumps trouble thing. And, like, this is a relatively trivial infraction for Josh Gordon. Although there was the report, I think it was Kevin Duffy who had it in the Herald, that – you know, he'd been this. It wasn't a one-off.
Right, it was the second time.
He'd been late for multiple things, but they need the guy. He's played really well, and you know, look, Bill will. He's like any other NFL coach. It's not just a Bill Belichick thing. I've said this a million times. These guys would take 53 axe murderers on their roster if they could win on Sunday. So if you're super talented, these guys will look the other way. You know, and I've said this before. I know Bill wasn't the coach with the Giants, but you don't think he knew that Lawrence Taylor was showing up to some of those games coked up?
Right.
Of course he knew, but he also knew the guy was going to ball out. So it's like, yeah, Josh Gordon going to be a little late, you know, for the team bus, but when he gets out there, he's going to play really well. We'll live with it.
Or maybe, so the other conspiracy theory is maybe they thought they had someone in the fold in terms of a trade, like Demaryius Thomas, was rumored, and then it just fell apart, so they decided, hey, you know what, we're going to give him a pass here because we need the player, we don't want to lose him.
Yeah.
Were you surprised no moves were made at the trade deadline?
I was surprised that there were no moves made at the trade deadline. I thought that, you know, look, trying to get Demaryius Thomas or Golden Tate, I knew that would be difficult, but I wasn't going to be stunned if they pulled it off. But I thought there'd be that little minor move, you know, that guy, that Jonathan Casillas, you know, type of guy,
sure.
Akeem Ayers type of guy that maybe we don't think much of, but that the Patriots know they can plug in to their system, have a very specific role for the guy, and they can get something out of it, particularly after Landon Roberts got hurt in the Bills game with that groin injury. And I'll tell you, I saw him in the locker room on Friday, and he still, you know, had a little hitch in his giddy-up. So they're really thin at linebacker. I thought they would add a linebacker or linebacker, you know, safety-type guy.
So that's – I'm glad you brought this up because late in that game in Buffalo, if you were still up at that point, Landon Roberts goes out, goes into the tent – And in comes Nicholas Grigsby, who's a special teams guy. So I figured, okay, like in terms of a depth move, like just get a guy we've never heard of, just for depth at linebacker, or maybe at safety. You're going to do something, right? For them to do nothing, it just felt negligent. It really did. I was surprised. Like, would I have wanted a Golden Tate, considering all the compensatory third-rounders they're going to have next year? Sure, yeah, I would have loved that. More, you know, weapons for Brady. But that they did nothing, nothing. Just in terms of depth, that pissed me off. It did.
Well, it's tough. I mean, you know, you have to see what's available out there. I don't know what the options really were for them. It didn't seem like maybe there were a lot of options. But I know we talked in the past about the Cardinals. You know, what was the price on someone like Hassan Reddick? Do they look at someone like Dale?
He's that safety linebacker.
Dale Buchanan's that, the other guy. Yeah. And, you know, maybe they looked at somebody like Buchanan and said, no, this guy's washed up. He's done. You know, he's not going to help us. We're not going to give up anything for him. And sometimes I think they also gauge it and they feel like, you know, certain guys might get released across the league. And later in the year, they can get a guy who's been released. Now, that's tough because they're down on the waiver claim list at this point. But, you know, obviously they didn't make a move. I was a little surprised. I thought there'd be that minor move, that Jonathan Casillas type move.
And then there's the artist formerly known as Gronk, who is just Robert Gronkowski, tight end. What's going on with Robert Gronkowski, the tight end? Where is Gronk? We'll touch on this coming up next here as we get ready for Patriots-Packers tomorrow night at Gillette Stadium. It's Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's been going on all season, really. You know, he has had a very small role in the offense for a variety of reasons. Early on, it was because he was the only target. Then I think his body started to bother him a little bit. I don't think it's extreme, but I think he feels vulnerable right now. I mean, after the Kansas City game, when you saw Brady take his face in his hands and say, "Forever, bro." Well, Phil later asked Gronk what that was all about, and Gronk confirmed that was because I thanked him for going to me down the stretch. Why does Rob Gronkowski have to thank Tom Brady? Because he feels vulnerable. He feels marginalized. And it's a very interesting thing, and I think part of that goes back to April, when the Patriots threatened to trade him and had him on the block. And it's just, I don't think it has anything to do with money. I think it has to do with how he feels about his position here.
Strong words from Tommy Curran on Quick Slants on NBC Sports Boston earlier this week. Feels vulnerable. Thanking Brady for going to him down the stretch. Feels marginalized. That's not Gronk, the most dominant weapon in the NFL.
Yeah.
That sounds like Robert James Gronkowski, tight end in the NFL. If I get mine, I get mine. It's Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. So as we go into this big matchup tomorrow night, Patriots, Packers, Gillette Stadium, what is going on with Gronk here? He's averaging the fewest yards per game since 2010, his rookie year. Chris, on pace to record two touchdowns. Hasn't caught a score since week one against Houston. Feels like ages ago. He looks like a shell of himself. Is it just about injury with Rob Gronkowski? Or is it kind of what Tom's saying here? He's been marginalized here in this offense. It's not just about injury. He's just maybe not getting the looks. Maybe he's freaked out because he thought he was going to be traded before the season. Was Bill, considering how Robert James Gronkowski, tight end, has looked, and he doesn't look like Gronk, was Bill even right to consider trading him now?
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, I mean, he hasn't been the same guy. There's no question. And I think that's the question. And what's interesting is that Gronk doesn't want to deal with these questions, but I can't say I blame him because he's in a tough spot. They've won 5 games in a row. So if he comes out and says, hey, here's what's going on. I'm not getting the targets in the red zone. They're not going to me. I feel like I'm open. I'm not getting the ball. Then suddenly, during the middle of a win streak, he's creating a distraction, right? He's creating a controversy, an issue. That's if he comes out and explains it. If he basically tries to shake it off, you know, fake smile his way through it like he did on Wednesday and doesn't say anything, then the assumption becomes, well, this is a physical thing. Physically, he's not the same guy. He's starting to deteriorate physically.
That's what I thought.
Belichick was right. So I don't know what the answer is, but I know that Gronkowski's in a tough spot, and I know that one of the most, at least in the history, you know, his history as a player, one of the most indefensible players in the NFL, one of the toughest guys to defend, is in a situation where he can't really defend himself because no matter what he says, it's going to look bad. Like, you know, he's sort of been put in this situation by this contract, and that's the other thing. I feel like, look, if they were winning these games and he was getting his money and he'd already gotten his money, I think this would be an issue, but I think it's a bigger issue because people are focused on it, fixated on it, because everybody knows he has these incentives that are tied to his pay.
Dan in Cranston, what do you make of all this going on with Rob Gronkowski?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
I'll try to make my points quick. I still love the guy, and I think he can be productive to a certain point. But Dez Bryant, let's take the knucklehead aside, okay? He's 29. Gronk is 29, often injured. As Josh Gordon has proved, if you can still play, there's a spot for you in the league. Why is Dez Bryant not playing right now?
I don't know. Your guess is
he couldn't get separation anymore.
That's true. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a big part of it. I mean, you know, he did put himself in a position where he overestimated his worth. The Ravens were willing to bring him in, but you're right. I mean, the general lack of interest in him was because the perception is he can't separate anymore.
And sometimes the name, then you just get too attached to the name and these guys just fall apart overnight. And the thing with Gronk is, I mean, you know, he got fed on Monday night against a team usually creams. And he made that circus catch. It was 3 for 43 yards. And this is the Bills, and these are one-on-one matchups now. There's something going on with him physically. He's lost a step. And everyone can say he's injured, but the injuries are what was going to ultimately do him in to begin with. And the ultimate, you know where this goes. This always is going to end up, and even if he plays decent the rest of the year, when you get to a certain point, he's got one more year left, and he's got $11 million cap hit next year. I just looked it up. You know they're going to come back to him to take a haircut. You know that's coming.
Oh, yeah, I think he'd retire rather than do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that at all. I mean, that's kind of been the other Patriot way, too. And I'm with you on that. He would probably just walk away. I don't know. It has happened, and more often than not, it's with quarterbacks where just like that, they fall off a cliff and it's over. I don't know. I kind of refuse to believe that Gronk is suddenly over the hill. Like, he's dealing with injuries. And the back thing, I can understand that there's some tentativeness on his behalf and feeling vulnerable on that end. The guy's been, you know, under the knife with how many back surgeries? Is it 2, 3, whatever it is?
He had the one at Arizona. You think he's had, like, you know, 2 in the NFL. He's had, like,
And that kind of thing, like, I can understand the nervousness of knowing one bad hit could, you know, have you eating your meals through a straw for the rest of your life, God forbid. So, okay, I can understand the tentativeness there. But if that was the case, then he should have just retired. I don't know. Something's up. It's just odd to see, considering how dominant he's been year after year since he's come into the league. You know, he just looks like a shell of himself. This is just in as R on the Cape. Okay, R. I'm just going to call you Rutherford. Hello, Rutherford.
It's Rick on the Cape. But, thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
I know you mentioned it before in the last hour that, Bill was trying to trade Gronk, beginning of the season. I think as a fan, I mean, obviously I'd like to see Gronk dominate, but to be honest with you, I would like to see Gronk dominate in January. I mean, you know, if we play the Packers, we play the Titans, we got to bye. I mean, come back healthy, dominate the last 5 weeks of the season, go into the bye, get yourself right, Edelman healthy, Gronk healthy. I mean, as a fan, that's what I mean, obviously I want Gronk to get paid, but, you know, if he's healthy in January, if he misses his incentive, who cares? That's kind of where I'm coming from with Gronk.
All right. Thanks, Rutherford.
I just got that.
How much of that is, because I heard this floated out there by Jim Lout, the producer of Zolak and Bertrand yesterday, is, you know, they're doing this on purpose. They're not looking Gronk's way in the red zone so that they can essentially keep him in, you know, bubble wrap until the postseason or later in the season. If they're doing it with James White, in a sense, and they're not handing off to him last week in Buffalo, is this maybe what's going on with Gronk?
Maybe, but I think it's more some of the physical ailments at this point that are affecting Gronk's, you know, production. I mean, the red zone numbers are sort of, I think there's been a number of factors here. Those red zone numbers obviously are startling. You know, the beginning of the year, remember when they didn't have the receivers, I think it was pretty easy for teams to take Gronk out of it.
Yeah.
You know, Houston really should have done a better job of that. And I think other teams like Jacksonville, now look, Tashaun Gibson will tell you, you know, there were some one-on-one matchups there with Gronkowski. They crowed about that after that Jacksonville game, but I think other teams did a better job of taking him out of it. Then he got hurt, and so it's probably a variety of factors that have contributed to, you know, what has been at least the first half of the season subpar by Gronk's standards, and I don't think anybody would deny that, including Gronk. You know, if you gave him, you know, truth serum, I think he would tell you that he expected to be better and expected to have better numbers at this point in the year.
Evan in the little town of Mendon, you're next here on
Gaston. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I just think I think Bill was right. You know, we all thought he was going to trade Gronk for Spike, you know, Spike for Brady. maybe he saw something that we all didn't see as fans. You know, maybe Gronk lost a step. You know, Bill knew this, and he was trying to sell him high. And, you know, Bill does this with a lot of guys, and maybe Gronk was the next victim, and we were just all too big of fans to, you know, accept it. But I think the truth is coming out now.
So, Evan, I love this phone call because now I said it a few days ago on Felger and Maz. If it keeps looking this way with Gronk and he looks like a shell of himself, you're going to see a division. You already had, you know, with the whole Palace Q thing and what was going on behind the scenes with this team the last, you know, couple of seasons, which I do believe, by the way. You have Team Tom, which I am firmly planted in. I think you are as well, Chris.
Yes.
And you have Team Bill, and Bill can do no wrong. And how dare anyone question Bill Belichick? But when it came to Rob Gronkowski, like, come on. Like, Tom Brady threatens retirement if Gronk was traded, and I think rightfully so. You had to bring him back into the fold, even if he was dealing with some injuries. And Bill wanted to sell high on the player before he reached a tipping point with these ailments. I don't know. The way it looks right now, like, you're going to have this division, I think, with certain segments of the fan base. Are you on Team Bill and that you look at this now and say, wait a minute, the Detroit Lions were willing to give a first-round draft pick? Maybe you could have got Golden Tate in exchange. Do you now look at this and say, wait a minute, we got robbed here? He should have actually moved on from Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, but remember this, though. Remember this. It wasn't so much the Patriots pulling back as Gronk, you know, you mentioned the thing with Brady there. But
well,
also
Gronk refused to even answer his phone.
He threatened to retire. So that kind of killed the deal.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, I don't know how much of it was the Patriots being like, oh, you know, okay, we're not going to do this. And there were theories that they were just trying to scare him straight. There was part of that, too. But the reality is the deal was off the table the minute he said, yeah, I'm going to retire. I'll retire rather than play with another quarterback.
But I do wonder, though, because, again, if he continues to look like this and it's, you know, 43, 46 yards, whatever it was against Buffalo, and he has one catch and he's not getting any touchdowns like he has in the past, you're going to pick a side here. You're going to look at Rob Gronkowski and Brady and see and say, like, what? No, he should have been dealt. We missed out on an asset here for the future of building this team, or maybe another weapon. Maybe it could have been Golden Tate. Or are you just firmly planted like I am on Team Tom and say, hey, what are you going to do? You had to bring him back. Otherwise, Tom was going to retire. You can't make that deal. 617-779-0985. You want to discuss that and anything pertaining to tomorrow night's Patriots-Packers big matchup in prime time at Gillette Stadium. We'll revisit the quarterback conversation here from the week, because this one really went up my chute. That people want to devalue Aaron Rodgers. Oh, he's only got the one Super Bowl trophy, and oh, he should have accomplished more in the postseason so far. Peyton Manning is better than Aaron Rodgers. Blasphemy, I say. We'll discuss that right after the Sports Hub headlines here with Tim McCone, Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At the New Orleans 31, down 7.
I'm going to say this. 2 weeks ago, the Jets, you kept blitzing. It cost you. If I was the New Orleans Saints, I would not blitz him. I would put the extra guys in coverage.
Picked off. Look out. Gets past Manning.
Ball is coming under. The timing was not there. And Tracy Porter, the quickest, fastest defensive back for the New Orleans Saints. What a play.
Oh, but it was Reggie Wayne's fault, right? Oh, put that play right into my veins. Now almost 10 years old, it's Gasper Murray, 98.5 The Sports. Peyton Manning's back-breaking pick against the Saints in Super Bowl 44. There's a lot to drink in there, too. I love how Phil Sims couldn't have been more wrong.
Oh, I know.
Pre-snap. What I would do is just drop people back, and I wouldn't have them blitz at all. No, they blitzed and got the pick six, and the Saints ended up sealing that victory.
Don't blitz, Jeem.
Yeah. Well, Jeem. J-E-E-E-E-M. God, I do not miss him at all. And
he's actually a very nice guy.
I'm sure that he is.
He really is.
He also tees proudly, much like our own Bob Soucy. He was always plugging the Bigelow tee. We play that to mock those of you out there, because it's come up this week with the Brady and Aaron Rodgers matchup tomorrow that we finally get for just the second time in this generation, which is crazy. We got ripped off in 2010 with Aaron Rodgers being injured. But we play that because so many of you, this has come up this week, and how do you tier your quarterbacks? Who's the best quarterback of this generation? This is the battle of the goats here. Okay, like, I don't know. It's Brady and then a drop and then Rodgers to me. But so many of you still would have put Peyton Manning right behind Brady as the second quarterback of this generation.
What, because of the stats? Oh, the gaudy stats and all the MVPs and all the all-pro nominations.
Screw your stats. Use your gut. Use your eyes. As you pointed out yesterday on Felger and Mass too, Chris, like, you knew. You were there, right? Or no, you were watching this game at NBC Sports Boston
at
the time.
Yeah, with Felger.
And you called it.
I called it. I said he was going to throw a pick six, and he did.
And he did, because that's what was going to
happen. Because that's what I expected. Here's another way of reframing this. If your life depended on it and you had to win one game, who would you want a quarterback?
Not Peyton Manning.
Yeah, exactly. Me neither. I'm sorry. No. Like, and, you know, it's one game. It's a playoff game. Or let me I'll reframe it again. It's a playoff game. Your life depends on one drive, and you need the quarterback to go down and score a touchdown. Who do you want?
Brady, Rodgers, anyone but Peyton Manning, really.
I would take Eli
Manning.
To me, I would too. And to me, that's the argument. That's the argument. And look, the guy had a great career. He's one of the all-time greats. You can't take that away from him. But I would put Aaron Rodgers ahead of him, because if my life depended upon one game, and you said, you know, you can't take Tom Brady, and you said of this current sort of, you know, of the generation of quarterbacks, or if you want to say, you know, post 2000s, whatever. So Joe Montana is out. I can't have Johnny Unitas. I can't have Otto Graham, any of the way, way back guys. I would take Aaron Rodgers. That's the guy I would take.
Yeah, because he's a killer. He's the last. Look, last week he gets screwed because Ty Montgomery decides to freelance and come out of the end zone after the Rams go up in that game, which was a very entertaining game, one of the better ones of the year that I've watched so far. But Montgomery fumbles. But had he not, and, you know, this is why Montgomery ended up getting traded, because Aaron Rodgers and that coaching staff and every player on that team outside of Ty Montgomery knew, just you know, take the knee and get it so Rodgers can win this game for us, because Aaron Rodgers is going to win this game, because that's what he does. He's a killer. And he's been, you know, he's been screwed in the playoffs before, because he hasn't had a chance to get the ball back a couple of times, like against the Arizona Cardinals. He's been let down by a bad defense and a dumb coach.
How about that onside kick, you know, that they didn't recover in the NFC Championship game? Like, how can you put that on the quarterback? How can you put that L on the quarterback?
And he was phenomenal in that game in Seattle, which at that time, we're talking peak Legion of Boom. And at the time, I felt ripped off too, even though we ultimately ended up getting, you know, the best Super Bowl of all of them to me in Super Bowl 49 with the Patriots and the Seahawks. I felt ripped off. I thought we were going to, it felt like for most of that game, we were getting Patriots, Packers in the Super Bowl. Rodgers was, you know, boobs out in that game. Russell Wilson had four picks in that game, but ends up, you know, bailing them out. But yeah, that's another one where he gets completely screwed. And look, just with the Rodgers Manning thing too, if you look at it, and so if you want to use, you know, something that's fact-based and statistical, I guess, if you want to say. The Packers have one loss in the playoffs as a favorite, by the way. It was against the New York Giants, 15-1 year in 2011. That was a real letdown, and Rodgers played like garbage at home against that Giants team. The Colts and Broncos with Manning, that was a yearly habit. For instance, of the 9 1-and-dones that Peyton Manning had in his career, here's my favorite. 2012, heavy favorite, first playoff game, divisional round, they get the bound. They're hosting the divisional round. They're hosting the upstart Baltimore Ravens, who just squeaked into the playoffs. Joe Flacco throws a Hail Mary to,
Torrey Smith
to tie the game. Wow, this is a crazy game. Now we're into overtime. Well, Peyton Manning's going to drive them right down. So I think it was Prater was still the kicker. He can set up, and we'll have Broncos Patriots in the AFC Championship game, right?
Wrong.
Manning on 2nd and 6. On the move. Across his body, and that is intercepted.
It's the God know that you hear a Broncos fan scream in agony as the ball is literally being released at that time by Manning. It hasn't reached the receiver yet, or, well, the defender of the Baltimore Ravens, but the fan knows, you see, oh, it's this again from this guy again. One more time, because it so warms my insides when I hear this. This is what I, when I speak of sports schadenfreude, enjoying the pain of other fans. Oh, this is the clip right here.
Manning on 2nd and 6. On the move. Throwing across his body, and that is intercepted.
Oh, boy. I said it earlier in the show today. I listen to that a handful of times a year. I'm going back to a game that's now like 6 years old. But that right there, that's what I live for.
I have to correct myself. Torrey Smith had two touchdowns in that game. It was Jacoby Jones.
Jacoby Jones. That's who it was. And it was Raheem Moore. Was that the safety that bit on
that
terrible play?
Yes, it was from UCLA's own.
Yeah. And so that's one I remember watching in real time that I also called. Because you knew bad was going to happen with Peyton Manning. So it bothers me. It does. Like that so many of you just get caught up in the stats and that Peyton Manning was a good guy and he was a media darling. He wasn't. He's not the second best quarterback of this generation. He's not. You're wrong. Use your eyes. Use your gut. If you've watched enough football in your life, you knew that bad was happening with Peyton Manning. And I know there's certain things you want to stuff in my face. Well, he holds the advantage in AFC Championship games over the Patriots 2013, 2015. I get it. No, I know. He does. 2006, that one I have to take to my grave, unfortunately, even though he was god-awful in all the prior games in that playoff run. And the only reason they got there is because the Colts actually had a defense that year, and Bob Sanders, hey, imagine that, was actually healthy for once. So fine, okay. But Peyton Manning was a playoff gag artist. Aaron Rodgers, he hasn't had the chances. He's gotten screwed. Like those Cardinals games where he's throwing up Hail Marys to Jeff Janis. I just look at it, you know, talent alone and wow factor. And the fact that bottom line is, and this isn't a quantifiable stat, I get it, but Aaron Rodgers was a killer, an absolute killer. He's the last guy, much like Tom Brady, you want to see with the ball in his hands with a minute and change left and you're only up six.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, there is an intangible, you know, I think so much of the sports debate and discussion we have today, and look, it's good in some ways. You know, we're able to quantify things we could never quantify in the past. There's a million statistics you can throw out to make your argument, and the statistics have never been better. They've never been more specific. At the same time, though, they're not the be-all, end-all, and there is an intangible factor to any sort of sports argument. Isn't that the fun of it, right? Mm. I mean, if we take that out of it, then where's the fun in that? And so the intangible factor there is that Brady's a guy that you feel like is clutch and has delivered in big moments, and Manning is a guy that you feel like is not clutch and has not come through the same way in those big moments. And like I said, again, you know, your life depends upon it. One drive, and I tell you, you can't take Brady as the quarterback. You got to score a touchdown or you're going to die. Who do you want? Would you really take Peyton Manning?
No, you wouldn't. And if you did, you're a fool. You're going to die. One more time. Let me hear that clip, B-Rub.
Manning on second and six. On the move. Throwing across his body, and that is intercepted.
See, that guy knew he was going to die.
Yeah, he knew. He knew because he had seen it before, whether he was with the Colts or now with the Broncos. He knew bad was coming with the Denver Broncos. That's the stuff that really, you know, outside of, you know, wanting to watch my teams win, which I thoroughly enjoy, that's what I live for as a sports fan at this point, the pain of others, that kind of sound, that you hear the life leaving the body of the sports fan when he sees the bad happening because he's forced to have to root for a perennial playoff gag artist in Peyton Manning. God, no! Oh, oh, that's the good stuff right there. All right, so Patriots-Packers tomorrow night. Of course, you can catch it here in the event you're not watching it. Here on 98.5 Sports Hub, Bob Soucy, Scott Zolak will have the call. You'll be on the pregame starting at, what, 5:30, Chris?
Yes, 5:30.
5:30 right here on the Sports Hub. I'll be on the postgame with Beatle, so we'll be up late for you, win or lose.
I just make one more Peyton Manning point?
Please.
I just want to say, what's interesting about Brady and Manning is I feel like in a lot of ways their careers were sort of inverted. Right. So in the beginning, you know, Manning, everything was built around him, put up these big stats. And at the end, when he won, he was more of a game manager. Brady, the first couple of Super Bowls, still very good, but a little bit more of a game manager, particularly in the first one. And then the last, you know, two, it's been like it's all about you. It's all on you, man. And I think that's why sometimes it's difficult to judge these things, because you have that sort of difference there. And that, you know, Brady now, as he gets later in his career, at a point in time when normally you're relying less on the quarterback to win, they're relying on him more. And when Manning won, it was at a point in time where he really was, as you said, a sidecar.
Yeah. And how many times, especially during those Colts years too, was Manning surrounded by significantly...
Oh, they built the whole thing around him. The whole thing was tuned specifically for him.
The position skill talent with those teams were ridiculous. Look at this Packers team right now. Okay, Devontae Adams is good, and Randall Cobb, if healthy, good wide receiver. Some of these guys... What is Exxon Valdez Scantling?
Marquez.
Yeah, Equiminius St. Brown, who I know is their draft pick, but like you watch these Packers, you'd be like, huh?
Geronimo Allison.
Who? And he's not even going to play because knee and ankle injuries. So, yeah. Exxon Valdez Scantling. Watch him go off for like 200 yards tomorrow night, too, with this defense.
Yeah, it's been good the last two games.
Well, we'll wrap this up with five questions for Chris Gasper. Got nothing to do with sports next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray. 98.5 The Sports Hub. I got five questions for Chris Casper of the Globe. I got five questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got five questions.
Five. One, two, three, four, five.
I got five questions. I hope this segment ain't too wack.
All right, so we wrap up Gasper and Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Five questions for Chris Gasper. Got nothing to do with sports. Let's dive right in. Question number one, Chris, now that Halloween is over, Thanksgiving up next, what's the earliest that you, Chris Gasper, are willing to entertain the thought of actually listening to Christmas music or holiday music?
Too early for that. It has to be post-Thanksgiving for me.
Yeah, I'm talking about like a few days right around Christmas. That's it. And I only like the depressing Charlie Brown Christmas album.
Yeah.
And the Beach Boys Christmas album. That's about it.
I'm big on the Temptations.
Oh, that one's good too. Yeah.
My dad's big on that stuff. Also, you know, Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You. I'll listen to that.
Yeah, but
that's her in her prime.
She was
throwing like 99 back then.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. At that point with that Christmas album, we're talking late 90s Pedro heat.
Yeah, she was bringing it.
Now,
Now it's a little more like Paul Bird.
Yeah. I was going to say more like a knuckleball. Stephen Wright, more than anything else. Question number two, your thoughts on meal delivery services or even clothing delivery services, Chris. Yeah. Do you subscribe to any of these?
I do not. And I always feel bad at my condo complex when I see like during the summer when I'm like, you know, it's interesting. That meal box has been out there for a couple of days. What's going to happen to that box? Is someone going to bring it in? Should I throw it out? I don't want to throw out something that somebody ordered. I don't know. I don't think that stuff works unless you have to live in a single family residence, I think.
These things like Stitch Fix and the men's clothing ones, those are the ones that intrigue me because it's like I can barely dress myself. You should see how I look right now. I look like a homeless person. But my issue would be is if things didn't fit, and Lord knows me, they wouldn't because I have been eating more. I just, if it didn't fit and I got to send it back, like that's a whole thing.
It's a pain. So I've done one of those services and you know, it's just, I feel like the business model is basically you forgetting to go to the post office.
Oh, definitely.
To return the stuff. It's like, oh, here's a $300 worth of stuff and you might like one thing, but if you don't remember to bring it back in time, you sort of just have the one, you know, instead of the one thing. You're on the hook for the whole box.
They're banking on American laziness.
Yeah.
That's how gyms make money. Believe me. I know. I've worked in them. And it's a great business plan. Like, okay, you'll go for the first week of January after you sign up. And then what? Then what? We got your money. Question number three. Chris, in your career, you've obviously crossed off a few special things off your bucket list when it comes to sports.
Sure.
What are some things on your non-sports related list?
Oh, wow. That's a really good question. I've never gone to Hawaii.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd like
you
to
You into
that.
That long flight, though,
no,
Mr. Scared Flyer?
There's a reason why. But still, I still would like to go. I've never gone to Africa. I'd like to do that. Stonehenge. Never seen Stonehenge.
Mm.
Yeah. Those are all things on my list.
I'm with you. There's a lot of places that I'd like to go. And, in fact, I was booking the yearly trip that me and the lady do, and I was looking at flight times, and immediately I'm like, nope.
Oh,
nope.
Really?
8 hours. Nope. 10 hours on the flight. Nope. Nope. No. Question number four, Chris. Did you, Chris Gasper, ever have a phase that you're now ashamed of? In other words, was there ever like a dirtbag Gasper phase? Was there ever like a coke fiend Gasper phase?
So I'll tell you what. There was in college, I had a phase where I grew like bad sideburns, and I am ashamed.
Like
of
mutton
that.
Chops or
not
like
mutton? No, I couldn't grow them, but they were like bad, like you know, bad sort of like Dawson's Creek like sideburns.
Oh,
like,
I need
bad.
These photos.
You know, bad.
Or have they all been burned?
Bad. I actually still have a couple of them. I still have a couple of them. With
sideburns, Gasper. Okay.
Yeah, I am ashamed of that. Yeah.
I'm ashamed of way into Vegas Big Jim. Like that was like mid 20s. Like always got to go to Vegas, bro. Like.
That sounds douchey.
Oh, the worst. Like, gross. And now, like, so I went with friends on a trip that we do every year, but, you know, Vegas is one of the cities we went to just a couple of years ago, and I just can't be more repulsed by that place now. I kind of don't care about casinos anymore.
Yeah.
It's plastic, it's fake, it's prepackaged, everything's overpriced. Ugh. Oh, I hate Vegas, Murray. I stunk. All right, final question.
Yes.
Alec Baldwin, arrested yesterday in New York City after he allegedly, even though he totally did it, punched someone over a parking dispute. What's the one thing or many things that people do while driving or parking that annoys you, Chris Gasper?
That's a good question. You know, I have to be honest, I'm not the greatest motorist. This is a little hypocritical by me because I probably do all of these things. I will say this, you know, ladies, if you could not apply your makeup while driving, it would be appreciated.
That's fair to say. Look, and I, too, I act like the roads are mine because they are. But the one thing that drives me the most nuts is commit to the right. You've had the light on now for a while. You're going to be taking the commit to the right. Just get into.
Oh, so you have
get
this,
into that
yes,
right.
People who don't use, and it's prevalent here, when you don't use the signal light, like I'm just supposed to know you're turning, you're taking the sharp turn because you're slowing down. That drives me insane. People that don't use the signal light when they're taking a turn, it's just a slow, just real slow, real slow. Now I'm going to turn. No signal light, though. I'm not telling you. Oh, I'm turning. You didn't know I'm turning because I slowed down. Yeah, I hate that. That drives me crazy.
And so ends the show for today. Thanks to Sarge and Tim McCone on the Sports Hub headlines. Brian Robb producing today's show. Be sure to read his great Celtics coverage at bostonsportsjournal.com. Again, bostonsportsjournal.com. And for you, Chris Casper, pregame tomorrow, 5:30, you and Beetle from Splitsville.
Splitsville, reunited. Last 2 weeks I've been on the road, but back with Beetle.
And you have a column coming on Rob Gronkowski in the Boston Globe as well.
I do.
And that will post
tomorrow? Know. it will be up sometime.
Okay, all right. So be looking for that as well, bostonglobe.com. Or in the newspaper here. Coming up, we have a Adam Jones on a Saturday situation. What's up, Jones? Put up his mic. We need to hear from the Dark Knight.
Hello.
There
Hello.
He is.
There he is. Here I am. Well, I just want to weigh in. I'm ashamed of my whole life, but but the worst phase. You ever have a pair of JNCO jeans?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I had those. Yeah.
I had a pair of JNCO jeans that I really liked.
Late '90s, like Limp Bizkit butt rock type stuff. Yeah.
Like real wide legs.
Oh,
real wide legs. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well,
I like those.
Now that you speak of this.
Not so much anymore, but I liked them at the time.
I hope I'm not going to hit a nerve here because I saw someone tweet a photo this week. There was a Fat Jones once.
Oh, yeah. No nerve at all. Very Fat Jones.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. Big.
Because you're so like lean and you play hoops all the time now.
Big.
How long were you Fat Jones?
Not all the time. You know, phases here and there.
Okay.
Fat Jones was, I would say, most of college, probably a good chunk after college. Then trim down a little bit, then put it back on. You know, it's always...